from the high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the great world's time zones, all 25 of them covered like a blanket by Coast to Coast AM, which is the name of this program. I'm Art Bell. It's my honor to be with you throughout the weekend, and it is, believe me, a fascinating weekend that we've got planned for you. Tonight, it may be the closest you ever get to a ghost. I got a pretty interesting... I get a lot of emails like this from Carl. Hi, Art. I live in San Diego and Los Angeles. Want to ask you, do you have a recommendation of where I can go to see or feel the presence of a ghost? I've never done this, but I am very eager to explore this reality. Thanks and happy birthday. Oh, it was my birthday. Carl. And, Carl, I may get you there tonight. That is to say, I may get you closer, you know, to a ghost than you ever have been before. Now, I obviously can't say that with assurance, but what you're going to hear tonight, I'll tell you, in all the years that I've been doing this program, this may be one of the things that interests, certainly in the category of ghosts, this is number one in my book. I'm familiar with my guests' technique for what they're doing. It's pristine. It has no margin for error. There's not much else that could be on these tapes but ghosts. I mean, they're blank tapes, always. By tradition, they and or the newer digital modes, which work, by the way, for for listening to ghosts. People from the other side. I know it sounds unlikely, but that's just about all that this could be. And that's why I have an eternal, continuing, absolute fascination with what the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS, does. They capture the voice of ghosts? Yes, I think so. A significant amount of proof, and anyway, that's on down the line a little later tonight. We're going to do that. Tomorrow night, Dean Radin's here. And the subject is going to be mass consciousness, the kind of stuff that is going on at Princeton, and the kind of experiments we've done, and a lot about that tomorrow night. So, as I say, big weekend. Now, looking at the world news, very briefly, Saudi security agents searched homes in the capital and surrounding deserts on Saturday for the body of a slain American hostage, Paul M. Johnson, Jr., while Saudi officials hailed as victory, a victory at least, their slaying of his executioner, though nobody thinks that it's going to stop the hunt for Americans. And, you know, they're chopping off heads of Americans. I'm sure you've seen it. God, the photographs have been going around on the internet. They are gruesome and not fit to be seen, in my opinion, you know, or probably shouldn't be posted publicly. I know freedom of information and all the rest of that, but there's kids around, and those really are awful shots. And I guess, you know, someone sent me something earlier indicating that it's in the ancient Islamic tradition to behead men. That in the ancient days, that's what they did. They would behead the men and sell the women and children into slavery and what have you. That's some ancient tradition, huh? And so I was thinking a little bit about that. And I thought maybe they need a modern addition to their militant extremist lexicon. Perhaps they need to learn the R word. You know, radiation. Nearing the end of its work, the September 11th Commission is inviting Vice President Dick Cheney to provide any evidence that he might have that might show some link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq under Saddam Hussein. I wonder what he'll say. But I think the most interesting story of the night for us is right here. And oh, I ache to go out there and be part of it. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take the break before I forget it, because I'm going to get wrapped up in this, and then we'll talk about what I wish I was doing this weekend. Well, all right, here's a way cool story. I guess you know what's coming up, right? You are up on this. If not, then let me catch you up on it. The stuff of pulp science fiction and children's adventure books could become reality this week, high over the Mojave Desert, when an innovative rocket points its nose toward space. Spaceship One is going to try to climb 62 miles up Monday morning, leaving the Earth's atmosphere for a few minutes, and thus will become, if they are successful, the first privately funded non-governmental manned spacecraft. That's not small potatoes, and so I thought you might want to know a little more about this. Spaceship One will be attached to the underside of its White Knight carrier airplane during takeoff from the Mojave Airport at about 6:30 Pacific time in the morning, Monday. And, oh, would I like to go. You can take an RV over there, but obviously I'll be getting off the air here at 2 a.m., so making it there would just be too tight. At an altitude of about 50,000 feet, the rocket plane will separate from the White Knight, light the engines, and shoot up to 100 kilometers, or 62 miles, which, by the way, is the internationally recognized boundary of outer space. That's when you've done it. At that height, the pilot, who is yet to be named, isn't that interesting? We don't know who the pilot is going to be, should experience about 3 minutes of weightlessness and see the curvature of the Earth and the blackness of space. The plane will then descend to a glide landing back at Mojave Airport about an hour and one half after takeoff. In a sense, Spaceship One's flight is an exercise, well, you know, and been there, done that, certainly not privately, but back in the 60s, the X-15 zoomed over the Mojave Desert to similar heights, and NASA's first manned Mercury launch in 61 brought Alan Shepard to an altitude of 116 miles during a 15-minute suborbital mission. Nevertheless, the fact that this high-tech space plane was built by the private sector with funding from software billionaire Paul Allen rather than our government has captured the imagination of space enthusiasts everywhere. I'm one of them. A quote, we can rarely pencil into our calendars a day when the world is going to change, but we can hear. That was George Whitesides from the National Space Society. Spaceship One's privately sponsored success could well mark a new era for spaceflight, said Mr. Whitesides, executive director of the National Space Society. We rarely can pencil a day in like this when the world's going to change, but we can here. It's going to fundamentally shift the way people think about space. Specifically, of course, it reawakens people's chance to at least dream about going into space themselves. Are you one of those dreamers? I would sure love to do it. I got up high enough to see the curvature of the Earth, but nowhere near that high. So, what would the deal be when they get going? Well, it would seem for anywhere between $30,000 and $100,000, you could get a seat on a plane that would take you up into and above that international boundary point, and you would be in space. This is Burt Rutan's effort. Everybody's moving toward the X Prize, which includes getting three men into space. This will not challenge the X Prize, but it's on the way to the X Prize, and all of Rutan's competition will be there checking out his act and seeing how it goes. And there's going to be a whole lot of people there, and I read this whole story, and they've got arrangements for RVs, and I thought, oh boy, let's hop in the RV and head over to Edwards and watch this occur. But, you know, checking into it, it would be right at the 4-hour driving range, plus accounting for getting off the air at 2 a.m. and then not out of here until 2:30. I would miss it. So I can't make it. But given the opportunity, in a heartbeat, I would go check that out. And it's I have some friends that are on their way to see it, and they'll be there watching. That should really be something, eh? Would you do it, given the opportunity? Supposing it didn't even cost any money, would you do that, or would you be afraid? I would do it. Depending on what I understood about what was beneath me and was prepared to rocket me into space. But I think Mr. Fratan certainly has, I bet he's done it right. And so I think I would have enough confidence in that case, or certainly with NASA, to launch if I had a chance. Just like that. All right, there is other news. There's an awful lot of environmental news, and none of it any good at all. I mean, not really good at all. Some of it shocking. And this is in the shocking category. The following is from The Guardian in Great Britain. And the headline is, Oil Chief, My Fears for the Planet. Well, since when did any oil chief speak out about our planet? Come on. Yes. The head of one of the world's biggest oil companies has admitted that the threat of climate change makes him, quote, really very worried for the planet. End quote. You're not going to believe this. In an interview in today's Guardian Life section, Ron Oxberg, chairman of Shell, this is not a minor company we're talking about. We're talking about Shell Oil, says we urgently need to capture emissions of the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide, which scientists think contribute to global warming, and store them underground. Technique called carbon sequestration. Sequestration is difficult, but if we don't have sequestration, quoting him here, then I see very little hope for the world, said Lord Oxberg. Nobody can be comfortable at the prospect of continuing to pump out the amounts of carbon dioxide that we're pumping out at present, with consequences that we really can't predict, but are probably not good. End quote. You've got to, this is, you know, president of an oil, a chairman of Shell. Sequestration is difficult, but if we don't have sequestration, then I see very little hope for the world. Quote, no one can be comfortable at the prospect of continuing to pump out the amounts of carbon dioxide that we're pumping out at present with consequences we can't really predict, but are probably not good. Anyway, those comments are probably going to enrage many of his colleagues in the oil industry, no doubt, which is targeted by climate change campaigners because the use of its products spill out huge quantities of carbon dioxide, most visibly from vehicle exhaust. And if you've seen any pictures of China lately, well, then, you know, they're driving cars around in China the way we drove them around, with the way that we virtually drive them around now. Even at that, we still represent about 30-some-odd percent of the entire planet's contribution to global warming. But to hear an oil company chairman say that, better think about that. I don't care what your politics. Las Vegas, headline Las Vegas, Associated Press. The drought gripping the West, that's here, could be the biggest in 500 years. They've been running this on CNN. I'm sure you saw it. With effects in the Colorado River Basin considerably worse than the Dust Bowl years. That's worse than the Dust Bowl years, According to the U.S. Geological Survey, on Thursday, quote, now we can say with confidence, said Robert Webb, lead author of the new fact sheet, now I'm completely convinced, quote, now I'm completely convinced, end quote. The Colorado River has been in drought now for the entire decade, cutting an important source of water for millions of people out across the West, including, of course, Southern California. Environmental groups said the report reinforces the need to figure out a better way to manage the Colorado River before reservoirs run dry. The water managers, they just continue to pray for rain. That's what they're doing. Well, what else can they do, really? I mean, we still are at the mercy of the Lord when it comes to water, aren't we? That's all they can do is pray for rain, and praying might be, particularly in view of tomorrow night's topic, an appropriate response here. Report said the drought has produced the lowest flow in the Colorado River on record, with an adjusted annual average flow of only 5.4 million acre feet. That was between 2001 and 2003. By comparison, during the Dust Bowl years of 1930 and 37, the annual flow figured to about 10.2 million acre feet. Think about that. 5.4 million acre feet compared to 10.2 when the Dust Bowl was going on. So it's worse than then, but we're not noticing. Actually, according to another Associated Press story, here's a headline, world's land turning to desert at alarming speed. The world is turning to dust, with lands the size of Rhode Island becoming desert wasteland every single year. Did you know that? Now, that's what I meant by we're not noticing. Unless you read a story like this and you let the words sink in, then you really don't get what's going on. And we're, you know, we're frogs in warming water, and it's warming at a very rapid rate, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, it's probably, looking out ahead, you can see the boiling point just out there, and that would be us boiling. Lands the size of Rhode Island are becoming desert wasteland every year, and the problem is threatening to send millions of people fleeing to greener countries, according to the UN. I'm not making any of this up. This is an AP story. One third of the Earth's surface is at risk, driving people into cities and destroying agriculture in vast swaths of Africa. 31% of Spain is threatened, while China has lost 36,000 square miles to desert, an area about the size of Indiana, since the 1950s. This week, the UN marks the 10th anniversary of the Convention to Combat Desertification, a plan aimed at stopping the phenomena. Despite the efforts, the trend seems to be picking up, doubling its pace since the 1970s. Well, if Mother Nature has decided to turn large swaths of previously arid, certainly farmland, good land, into desert, then I don't know what man could do to stop that process, whether it has anything or any relationship to global warming. One certainly might make the case that, yes, it might. It might be another effect of global warming, right? Areas the size of Rhode Island simply ceasing to be green, ceasing to grow things, and turning into desert. So, boil away, frogs, or listen carefully to some of the stories like the ones tonight that I'm reading to you about what's going on all around us. Perhaps there are people who do know the big picture, And all they can do is sort of keep their mouths shut and hope that, well, you don't notice. You know, until it's, I suppose, your area, the size of Rhode Island that happens to become a hunk of desert, then obviously you're going to notice. But on a worldwide scale, maybe all of this will just happen, and until the end, nobody will notice. Baby, but you gotta call the right number, and it's a little different on the weekends. Here's how we do it on the weekends. Listen very carefully.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed, and of course, all of you, and we're about to go to open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. I'm reminding you once again at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking with Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, and I'm telling you right now, of all the programs I do, this one, I think, offers the most intense, hard-to-argue evidence of ghosts. I do believe, that what we're hearing are ghosts. There really cannot be any other conclusion that you would come to. Certainly, I have tried to pick it apart. Believe me, I'm kind of a technical guy, and if I saw any holes in what they were doing, any holes at all, I'd be all over it, and they would not be back and back, but they are back and back for a lot of reasons. One, they don't do this for money. This EVP, this sound from the grave, these voices from the other side, and really, as you listen to the evidence tonight, if you listen with a fresh mind, there really can't be, technically or otherwise, really any other conclusion for what you're going to hear tonight. If you wish to believe that, oh, pooey, you know, these cannot be the voices of ghosts, well then fine, go ahead. But I'm telling you, from a technical point of view, there really are no holes in what these folks do, and there's really no other explanation. Once you get into the content of what you're going to hear tonight, there's no other explanation. These are the voices of ghosts. We'll do it tonight. All right, everybody, let's rock. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hi. Hello there. Hello. Yes.
Oh, hi, this is Jim in Pasadena. Is this Art?
Yes, Jim, hi.
Oh, hi. I'd like to tell you a story about my, it's actually a ghost story, and I think you'll find it kind of interesting. My father committed suicide in 1977, back in Michigan. He was in the, hospital in Ann Arbor. And, my brother and I, who were living in California, flew back, just in time to see the viewing the evening before he was going to be buried.
Yes.
And a lot of people will say that they can hear the voice of the deceased in their mind.
Yes.
And I could do that. I heard my father saying, you know, don't worry, son, I'm going to be okay. And all over the viewing and during the viewing, that's all I heard, was don't worry, son, I'm going to be okay. So we had the funeral, and I flew back to California. And I used to live in this real little tiny kind of a shack house that got real, real hot during the summer.
Yes.
And I think about that August, I used to leave the doors open. And one night was laying on the waterbed with my kind of face against the wall, and I felt somebody come in the room. And you know, I just told myself, you know, I'm going to get killed because, you know, I got somebody that's in there, and he's in my house. And you know, I was pretty much cowering in fear, and then all of a sudden I decided, well, I'm either going to throw a punch, or, you know, I'm just going to sit there while this guy stabs me. So I balled up my fist, and I turned around and threw this punch into the air. And I heard my father's voice say, it's me, son. I just came back to see how you were.
Boy.
This is about 6 or 7 months after he had been deceased.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't any kind of a hallucination or anything like that. It was, you know, truly, truly his spirit had come back to see me.
I've got you. Well, it's good. It's not good to punch at a ghost, but I guess it's...
Well, when you punch something that isn't there, then you kind of realize, well, you know, there was something.
Yeah.
And it was this, his spirit.
Normally, I would advise it definitely against punching a ghost, but... and then it's dad. Well, that brings up a pretty interesting point, and that is who sticks around Earth. Surely not all who die remain to haunt the surroundings or the people who dispatched them or did not wish them well or whatever. Clearly not all remain, but clearly some do, and it may be that those who take their own life would fit into that category. I don't know. It's one of the mysteries that we will explore tonight. Who goes, who doesn't? All the rest of it. It's, I'm telling you, this is really fascinating stuff. So, you know, we do frequently entire nights of ghost stories. I mean, there's no shortage of ghost stories, believe me. And I know that in a lot of cases you can sort of put it off. I mean, as people will do, they say, well, you know, it's in his mind. And maybe it was. But what you're going to hear on tape tonight, this is not the product of somebody's mind. There's absolutely no question about what you're going to hear, nor the authenticity of the methods used in obtaining what you're going to hear. I think it's really, truly chilling, interesting stuff if you wonder about the other side. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Chris. Hey, I just called in just because I picked up the phone, dialed the number, and I got in. It was amazing. I listen to your show all the time. Probably been listening for like 6-7 years now. I remember going on a fishing trip. My dad turned on the radio, and we heard this, something about something falling from the sky into a farmer's field, and it was debris from something. Anyway, I was totally interested in this.
Absolutely a perfect story to listen to while you're out on a fishing trip.
Oh, it was great. But, yeah, I just, I heard you talking about the ghost stories, and, there's no shortage of them by far. I mean, geez, I got tons of them too, but, hey,
no,
I wanted to
share.
No,
but that's one category, as I was saying, sir, the ghost
story. Oh, yeah,
you're going to always say, well, it's in somebody's mind, but what you're going to hear tonight,
no, baby, no.
What you're going to hear tonight has to be by, you know, a reasonable person considered to be a pretty fair chunk of evidence of life after death.
I believe it. It's hard to deny. You should replay the tape, the Siberian tape, where they dropped the microphone in that hole real far, and you hear the screams. That was creepy. That creeped me out.
Well, I hope that's not the other side or any part of it.
Yeah, you know, I hope so too. Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about karma, and I mean, this is a wild card line, so I figure I'd talk about whatever, but I seem to be one of the people that's in the right place at the right time, pick up the phone at the right time, dial the number,
yeah.
And a lot of things have happened in my life, a lot of crazy things, but
that's called synchronicity, actually.
Exactly, and if you can like see the occurrences, like they're not coincidences, but you have to look past it, you have to understand that.
Was that the sound you were referring
yeah,
to?
Yeah, you kind of caught me off guard there. That was kind of creepy there, Art. Way to go. that's the one, though. That is the first time I heard that. I'm like, yikes.
Yes.
That's interesting. But, just karma and synchronicity with things. And I got in an accident in January, wrecked my car, and I was torn apart, didn't have a job or anything like that. All of a sudden, I've got this brand-new job, brand-new car, and I kept being positive about everything, and I'm a very positive person. It's just crazy how stuff works out, and you just got to look past and
I don't think it is. I don't think so. I think you're on to it. You said it yourself. I didn't even have to solicit it from you. Even though something bad happened, you're a positive person. So positive people will cause positive things to happen, and negative people will cause negative things to happen. That's just the way the world works. Usually, there can be rare cases of astounding bad luck, continuing, unrelenting bad luck. But that's really very unusual. For the most part, positive people produce positive things. Negative people produce negative things. So staying positive, your life turned around. Not a surprise. Nothing paranormal about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Art?
Yes.
Awesome. I've been listening to you for about 10 years. Great.
Thank you.
I had a theory about the global warming.
Oh, yes.
I think the movie The Arrival hit it on the head. I mean, it's almost like I think the government is in cahoots with what they think are aliens, and they're trying to terraform Earth.
You think
so, huh? I think there's something to that, you know?
Well, maybe they're doing it a Rhode Island-sized piece at a time.
I wonder.
Maybe they're desert rats.
And they're making a buck in return, so they're happy.
There you are. All right.
Man, I love you, dude. You're
all right.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I want to say that to you, but you're likable. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Yeah, my name is Dan. I'm calling from Long Beach, California.
Yes.
And I just want to, since I was on hold, I want to mention two things. One is that when I was going up towards Northtown here in Long Beach, I had kind of a couple of odd incidences. Is that this one guy was going to get off the bus, and the bus driver wouldn't let him because there was a lot of bees flying around over there.
Yes.
And then about a week later, when I went to go back up to Long Beach, there was a band of bees flying around within the bus. So needless to say, the whole bus was evacuated because of it.
You think they were killer bees?
I didn't stick around to find out, so.
No, I wouldn't either.
And also, one time here back in 2000, 2001.
Yes.
Two people I got caught up with, I came out here from Chicago, and there's one lady and I were standing over by the ATM machine right at the Queen Mary, and which is known to be haunted. And she and I both spotted this one ghost that stood about like 5'10", weighing about 450, in an old, some kind of a Navy uniform.
How did you know it was a ghost?
Because no sooner than both of us turned right back around again, about 2 seconds later, it disappeared into thin air.
Well, that would do it, I guess. Disappearing is a good sign of a ghost, I guess. You know, I don't know. I've spent a lot of years investigating all kinds of people who make claims about death, you know, and what may lie or may not lie on the other side. I really have talked to so many people about that. But again, what you're going to hear tonight would appear to be, to me, seem to me to be the very best evidence, the very best evidence that there is something after death. And that's a very non-trivial question, isn't it? It's the biggest question any of us face is whether we will survive in any way the death of our physical bodies. Any way at all. Or is this it? Well, tonight, if you listen carefully, it may begin to answer that question for you. And good evening. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Where are you, please?
Tahunga, California.
Tahunga, California.
Yes. I'm calling about I had an incident that happened after my mother passed away in 1977. And I was witnessing and feeling like a ghost sitting next to me and like kind of like very sweet presence. And I even called a talk show on television, told them about it, and they were like laughing it off.
Yeah.
But I've also seen this. I saw a UFO. It looked like a flying saucer with a message that said, "People of Earth, unite and love one another." And
well, apparently it's not being received very well.
I know.
Instead, they're cutting off heads and doing awful things to each other out there.
I'm so happy to be able to give that message to you and the rest of the people that are listening to you, because I think it's an important one.
Well, it is, but whether it's listened to or not is, I think, of great doubt. There are many things that we tell all of you. I mean, like the stories I read you tonight about the environment, right? People hear it, and I don't know. In the modern world, you just sort of absorb it and go, wow. But do you really understand what it means? The kind of changes that are going on here. The fact that we're in worse shape than we were during the Dust Bowl years. The fact that hunks of land the size of Rhode Island on a yearly basis are turning into desert. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right.
Well, I got a kind of a weird story with a twist for you.
Okay.
Since I was 18, I lived in this house in Northern California that was built in 1905.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd been listening to your program, and I've actually been educated through it, but I would hear these noises in the middle of the night, a scratching on the back of the stairs.
Yes.
And I was almost for sure that, I would get up and check it and everything, and it's an older house, so you'd think it would make all these noises. But ever since I've had those experiences in that house of being around what I think is ghosts,
yes,
I've experienced what you guys have explained as out-of-body experiences, OBEs,
mm-hmm.
Tremendously. Like what would happen is I would be laying down, not sleeping, and I would almost like raise to the ceiling and be looking down at myself. And it was like something else was inhibiting my body while I was sitting there looking down at myself.
Well, something happens when you begin to open yourself to all of this, and it may have to do with what you believe possible. I mean, if you're one of those people who poo-poos the whole thing, it may be that this just never happens to you because your mind is not open to it.
But every time that it happens, it's not the same. There is one thing that is the same. I can see like a whirlpool going around me. But then sometimes there's people holding hands at the top of that whirlpool and looking at me with smiles. So I know it's not something negative. It's just something that I think I'm not all the way in tune with and can understand.
Well, what you may not know, though, is that behind their smiling faces, they've got scalpels lined up on their belt or something.
Well,
I don't mean to worry you, but I'm just saying.
Well, I know, but some of these people, they look like some of my family members, but like in different parts of their life, like different years, I don't know if these photos might be drawn from old photographs I've seen, like of my grandparents and things like that.
In other words, your brain could be making those associations and doing all of that. Yeah, it could be. it could be. Until you get to what we're going to be presenting to you tonight. Once you hear this tonight, and you understand the technology techniques that are used, and you understand the care that's taken, and the fact that these people are not money takers, and they've been doing what, actually, EVP began with Edison, who thought that it might be a path to hear from the dead. Did you know that? Not a lot of people do. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Mitch. I've been listening to you for a few years, and I enjoy listening to the program.
Where are you, Mitch?
I'm calling from Juneau, Alaska.
Excellent. Okay, what's up?
Three incidents happened, and they're all similar, but they all happened years apart.
What kind of incidents?
First one was back in the early 70s.
We've got about a minute, so.
Would I be able to hold on the line? And
no, because we're going to have guests on after the top of the hour. Very quickly, tell me.
Three different incidents. The same thing happened. Somebody were knocking on the door, and upon opening the door, you know, just which only took seconds after they happened, nobody there. There was one incident. There was fresh falling snow, no tracks or anything like that. But each time these things happened, nobody was on the other side of the door, but a family relative had passed away just days after. I'm wondering if
cutting to the chase, you think you might have had an encounter with a ghost?
Not really sure. Each time when the door was answered, a family relative had passed away, and I'm wondering if other incidents, I mean, similar things have happened or not, you know.
I have no idea, sir, but your story is one of millions. Millions. Coming up. EVP.
Falling in love was the last thing I had on my mind. Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find.
It hits the bone, there may be a lot of things you'll begin to discern. Tonight we'll talk of some of them.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
In all the years of doing talk radio, this really is one of the scariest kind of nights you can spend. It'll be with Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. Both of these members of the Ghost Investigators Society are devoted people. The GIS is a non-profit organization. You really ought to make immediate note of that. Non-profit organization. They don't make money. They don't sell T-shirts, cups, anything. They don't even sell tapes. They put them up on the web for you to hear for free. They're dedicated to something that's been going on since the invention of electronics, just about. and that is ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but they also instruct, assist, and educate anyone out there, including you, who believes they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious, in an effort to educate the public about ghosts. The GIS hopes the EVP's electronic voice phenomena presented will help demonstrate that the consciousness does survive after the body dies, and that these voices you're going to hear may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Welcome, Brendan and Barbara.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Thank you.
It's great to have you, and if the two of you will hold on, we will proceed immediately following this commercial break. You know, only in America do you get to make a statement like that. You know, we're going to talk about life, death, and we're going to come some a great way toward proving that consciousness defies physical death. And we're going to talk about ghosts right after this commercial break. Only in America. I have for years now talked with you two, and I've really, as a technical person, tried to shoot holes in what you do, because what you do is fantastic, and it demands some kind of fantastic explanation, but I guess we better preface everything by telling everybody once again, you're nonprofit, you don't sell stuff, right?
That's correct.
That's Barbara, right?
Yes.
Everybody speak up good and loud so
okay.
I can hear you.
Yep.
Lots of gusto, take a deep breath. You don't sell stuff. You record these voices. Originally, you did it on tape. And for the first few years of the show, we had they were just poorer quality renderings because they were on tape for the most part, right?
That's right, yeah. We did originally have the theory that only tape would record these voices. And the reason we thought that was mainly because the working theory on EVP was that it was using the electromagnetic field, that these spirits were using the electromagnetic field to imprint their voices.
Right.
And we figured, well, you know, put two and two together, use magnetic tape, and there you go. So,
In other words, it would be the tape head itself, perhaps.
Exactly.
Or even the microphone in some way affected, although that could certainly be true now with the, you've shifted to digital, what, about, I don't know, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I'd say it was over a year and a half ago now.
Some of us.
Barbara still doesn't like to go back to the, she doesn't like to go to digital now at all.
Oh.
In fact, I forced her to buy a digital recorder.
Oh, really?
She's only used it once.
Barbara, why do you stay in the past?
Oh, I like having my tapes.
Well, you see, you're talking to a guy who uses what are still called cart machines, which could come straight out of a museum. I use them right here, and people laugh at me.
Yeah.
You know, but so I guess I do in a way understand. you kind of hang on to things that you get used to.
Yeah, I like having the physical tape.
But there is noise in tape. Inherently, there is noise in tape, and a lot of times what you all are picking up is pretty low level, right?
Yes, that's true.
And it is, you know, a lot of times that is the main problem, is some of these voices, especially on the analog tapes, are embedded in that background tape hiss, which is just so horrible.
And so you're forced to filter that out. Anyway, here's the deal. With the tapes, you use only brand new tapes, rip the cellophane off, only use the tapes one time, right?
That's correct.
For authenticity, for control purposes, because, you know, if you had a partially erased tape, you might hear a voice that you might conclude is a ghost voice, but there's never been anything ever recorded on these tapes, just so we're clear.
These are correct. Always brand new tapes. In fact, we've been toying with the idea now of taking pictures of Barbara's library of tapes that she has here. Just to show people how many tapes we actually do go through.
All right. And,
those are just mine and my husband's.
What kind of recorder do you use, Barbara?
Well, my recorder that I've used over the years finally died. It had a million miles on it, I'm sure.
I bet Brendan smiled.
Yeah, he did. And it's difficult to find a good quality tape recorder anymore. I think they're starting to discontinue them. And
yes, the world is changing. I'm telling you, Barbara, it's changing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, eventually you're going to be pushed into it.
That's kind of what's happened.
In the meantime, though, what are you using?
I bought the same.
You're using the, well, you were until it died, the Iowa TPM 920 is what she was using.
And now?
Now she's using, it's a RCA, I'm not exactly sure what the model number is that she has. It's on the website, though, if you go to our equipment list.
And you?
I use the same exact one that she does now. And that's
but
the
I
one.
Want to get a different one. I'm really not very happy with the functions of this one.
I see. Well, Brendan, I thought you were using digital.
No. This is the digital. The digital that Barbara just bought
that she refuses to use is the same one
that I'm using.
I've got you. All right. Now, there must be an internal schism on this subject. And I'm sure you've had long discussions about it, but there is a big difference between tape noise and between digital, which is virtually silent, making any voice you have to bring out much easier to get out and clearer. Mm-hmm. I remember when I began to suggest it to you, and you both went, nah. And then finally you sort of slid into it, and you found the voices there. Now, is there any difference, and here's where I bet the schism is, in the number of voices that you capture on tape versus those you capture digitally?
You know, I would have to say now, I think we do get more voices from the digital recorder, and I'm not sure if that's because we are getting more voices or it's easier to hear the voices that are there compared to analog recorders where you'll miss a voice every once in a while because the quality is just so crap.
Do you have any view on that, Barbara?
I believe that it's probably, this is just a guess, but I think that the quality is better and it's easier to hear them.
So I wonder what that tells us about how the voices are imprinted either in a digital medium or on tape. What does that tell us, the fact that they can do either one?
Well,
doesn't the digital, though, still have the electromagnetic?
To a point, I guess, but you know, I'm thinking now, I'm going along with the theory that somehow these voices are manipulating sound that is already in the atmosphere. Mm. And I think that because a lot of the voices we get them when we're actually talking.
With each other.
Or there's some kind of noise that we're creating is when these voices come in. Very rarely have we ever picked up a voice when there is no noise whatsoever.
Do you think that more times than not you're engaging in a conversation with a spirit, or that a spirit is responding to something you have said, or do you think you're just sort of listening in on what's happening somewhere else?
I think the majority of the time there's actually some very small form of conversation, obviously, and you know we've gone over this with you through the years. Trying to build up a conversation with these entities, whether it was using a real-time recorder or, you know, just being utterly silent when we ask a question and finding, you know, trying to hear a response.
Yes.
I think there is a very small amount of conversation going on. I do believe a lot of these voices respond to questions that we ask or something that our group is doing when we're out, whether it's, you know, amongst ourselves and has, you know, whatever we're doing has nothing to do with the spirits themselves.
You both are well aware, I'm sure, of the multidimensional theory that most theoretical physicists now subscribe to. It's almost widely believed now that there are many, 11 at least, dimensions.
Yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So another dimension is certainly one possibility for a source of these voices, right?
Yes, that's true, but it's obvious on most of these voices that they're interacting with us and they're aware of us.
And, yeah. You know, and that could be, you know, you mentioned the dimension. And that could be because, you know, maybe there's a very thin line between our dimension and theirs if that was the case. However, why would we be getting these voices in certain places that are, as you said before, associated with death, whether it's...
Well, wait a minute now. That's my line. Your line is to say something usually like, well, you know, we go to cemeteries, but you can get EVPs anywhere, and you don't have to be in a cemetery, and yet I've noted over the years you keep going back to cemetery like a lemming.
A very interesting way of putting it.
Yes, I mean, it's true, isn't it? I mean, you do, tonight, for example, where, pray tell, will the majority of the voices we're going to hear be coming from?
Actually, tonight is going to be an interesting show, because I would say the majority of these are actually recorded from Barbara's house.
Oh? Would that be the same Barbara who said that whenever she leaves a site, she always says, "Don't follow me"?
Yes.
And in fact,
but we were aware when we moved in this house that shortly after we moved in that there was presence here, at least one. But I think that there is more than one here. We've had quite a bit of incredible happenings here in the house. And
don't y'all find that a little disconcerting? I mean, graveyards. Old execution chambers, and God knows the places you've been, and now your house?
Yes, and my husband wasn't too happy about it. He thought I got the house because I knew it was haunted.
Well, is he right?
No, I didn't have any idea, but it's a bonus to me.
It's a bonus. Well, see, most real estate agents, you know, they don't pass on, even though they're required to by law, information like that. Well, here we've got a nice little two-bedroom haunted house with a nice loft upstairs for hanging people. Yeah. So your own house, I mean, how long have you had the house before you came to know this?
We had probably just lived in it for a couple of months before. As soon as I brought my husband to look at it, he was aware of it. He said that there was something here.
Is this an old house?
It was probably built in the 50s, early 50s.
Not that old?
No.
Do you know the history?
A little bit of it. It used to be a property connected to our neighbors. It was a farm.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the people got elderly and sold this plot of land, and the house got built on it.
No violent
deaths. There
are
several neighbors around us that believe that they have entities in their house also.
Oh, really? Now, it's more and more interesting. You live in Utah, don't you?
Yes.
Where in Utah?
In Ogden.
In Ogden, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And so your neighbors also think there's haunting. So the haunting is in the area.
Yes.
And I do believe that, you know, with the amount of places that we have been in this area alone, in Ogden, I mean, there's been so many locations here that have had so many different haunting activity. I mean, different things happening and just different kinds of phenomena happening. I do think it's definitely the area that we're in.
So the majority of these will come from your home tonight?
Probably at least half.
About half. And the other half?
Cemetery, mausoleum.
Yes.
Theaters.
Yes. Well, this gives you a chance to stay home and do what you do.
Yeah, we did do that for about a week. Brennan would come over here and we'd just be sitting around our table and talking, or he'd be working on the computer. And
I mean, I basically turned it into a vigil of just sitting here, and any time I was here, having a recorder going.
Huh.
There was one night we were sitting here at the kitchen table, and we have a cordless telephone that was sitting on the table, and all of a sudden it just started rattling and rattled right off of the table, and that was with four witnesses.
Oh. Well, I was just saying earlier, when I was talking to somebody who had called, that when you open your mind to this sort of thing, you open a door. And you know, I think a lot of people who just toss this out as impossible, implausible, just can't be, it doesn't happen to them. but or rarely to them. Occasionally skeptics, you know, get haunted or whatever, but it's pretty rare. Most times it's people who are open to this sort of thing, right?
Yes, and I think, you know, and it's something, sometimes ghost activity is so subtle and quiet, if you're not watching for it, it's easy to miss. You know, like something moving or floating or, you know.
The audience also should know that you are far from the first to do this, that EVP actually goes back to, was it Alexander Graham?
Yes, he was working on a machine to be able to communicate with the dead at the time of his death.
Now, that's really something for people to imagine. Alexander Graham Bell working on communications, telephone, and that early in the technology, why would he be imagining that it might be a method to talk to the dead?
You know, it really doesn't surprise me. I mean, if you think about where we're at right now as far as technology, and think where we were at even 20 years ago, I mean, look at how much it has changed, and look at how many things we have learned from it. So can you imagine in another 20 to 40 years what we might figure out, and, you know, what now we would think, oh, that's completely crazy, why would you even think of that? And in 20 to 40 years, it would be the most common thing in the world. And I think eventually, life after death and ghosts is going to become like that. It's going to become something that's so accepted.
You really believe that?
I do.
So
I really believe that.
There'll be cell phone companies offering plans. Talk to the dead. Get free.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Free incoming calls from the dead. Now, you got to laugh at some things anyway. So you really think it'll become that common?
I do believe that in time, the technology will increase to the point where it's something that is accepted, and it is something that people realize is a legitimate thing that's happening. It's a legitimate phenomenon.
Huh. How can this be advanced from the equipment you're using and the way you're going at it right now, electronically, technically? How can we make an advance in trying to talk to the other side? Any thoughts on that at all?
I think, and I really don't know how we would do this, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, that this is something we have tried before. I think the obvious next step is to figure out a way to actually have a conversation with these beings, to actually have them respond to you and you be able to respond to them in, you know, hopefully real time.
These beings, that's a very cautious phrase. Do you believe these are souls that were at one time living and walking on Earth and are now physically dead but still there? Is that what you believe these are?
That's
I do.
What I believe.
Yes. I do believe these are the souls of people that have lived. They've had a body, they've led lives, and that they have passed on. And for whatever reason, their personality and their consciousness is still here.
All right, then. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin to play these for you. And I ask that you open your mind and that you consider what you're about to hear fairly, understanding this is a non-profit organization, that their technical methods for doing this are pristine. So if you have another explanation for what's about to happen, I'd sure love to hear it, because over the years, I haven't found it.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna open up your gate and maybe tell you about Phaedra and how she gave me life and how she
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
I don't know. Music, of course, kind of sets moods for me anyway and for many of you I know. And this song sets the perfect mood in a way for what we're about to do. We're going to reach across some sort of veil. There is a veil there. There is a kind of a stopper there. But we found a way to do it. We're going to reach across that with EVP and listen to voices from the other side. Just over the hill in Las Vegas, Joseph writes, please ask those two about European attempts to improve EVP technology by talking to scientists on the other side. I've read reports of video conference-like interactions with spirits and of other side scientists saying they are developing equipment there. Now, that's people, scientists on the other side, scientists who have died, saying they're trying to develop equipment on the other side. Have you two heard anything about any of this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Surprised what we've heard.
I guess I would. Proceed, please, because I didn't know a thing about it.
Well, and actually, you had mentioned before Alexander Graham Bell.
Yes.
And he had told somebody that when he passed on, he was going to make every effort to find out a way to contact the living. And I can't remember the person's name he had told this to, but they were going to try every way possible to contact him.
Well, this would appear to be contemporary evidence that this might be occurring, that they might somehow, I mean, excuse me, but on the spirit side, you don't imagine material things existing for furthering this kind of communication.
Well, and it's, you know, it's so hard to imagine what it is like over there. I mean, because it's something, you know, we as human beings can't right now comprehend.
Well, it's what I try to draw from every time I do a program with you. What's it like on the other side? These give us little clues, don't they?
It's almost like they do. I mean, every once in a while, you know, we'll ask the question, what is it like where you're at? And I can remember one time I received a response from, it was a male's voice that said birds. That was the only word he said.
Yeah, well, that's a half full glass response. The ones I remember are dark and cold. Well, they're the ones that stuck with me. It's dark in here and it's cold, and I didn't like either one of those. All right, look, we better get down to business. These have been gathered over the last how long, you two?
Oh, let's see. I would say the last month.
Over the last month, okay. What's number one?
Well, and right before we get into this, we're going to do something a tad bit different tonight from what we've done in the past.
How so?
And I can tell you right now that our server admin, Jamie at modemlink.com, is going to hate us for this. We have created a gallery on our website of these EVPs. And we linked it here about, I'd say 2-3 minutes ago.
Hmm.
And it's on the front page. It's on the right side of the front page under the news column. If you click on Coast to Coast EVP,
yes,
you will be able to, in order of how we're playing these tonight, hear each one of these voices.
off of the website.
So are the listeners that are hearing these, if they want to go back and hear these again, in case they thought, oh, no, I think it said something else.
Oh, trust me, all night I will get past blasts from people saying, exactly. No, here's what it said. This is what it said.
So they can go to our website and go to that gallery, and in order of how we're playing them tonight, they're all numbered. They can listen to them and make their own determination of what they believe it's saying.
There you go, folks. Interactive radio. So you go to the coasttocoastam.com site, click on their site, and or go directly to it, which is?
Ghostpicks.com.
Ghostpicks.com. Spell that out.
G-H-O-S-T-P-I-X.
.com.
Right.
That's right.
All right, and giving all that out right now, we'll soon put ghostpicks.com on the other side.
I'm hoping we don't.
Well, we'll see. We've killed more than one. We've got a lot of notches in our barrel. All right,
yes.
Or on the stock. So, okay, here we go. Number one, please.
On this first one, you're going to hear Brendan say, is anyone else down here? We were in a mausoleum.
Oh.
And Brendan had gone downstairs to make sure nobody else was down there.
Uh-huh.
And because we were getting ready to leave. And so you'll hear Brendan say, is anyone else down here? And a child's voice, it sounds like a child that says, I need more.
All right. Here we go. Listen carefully.
Is anyone else down here?
Oh, brother. Okay, well, we start right off with the kids, huh?
We always get a lot of children.
Yeah, a lot of children. It's very disturbing, of course, that we get children.
It is, and, you know, I'd have to say, unfortunately, I think a little bit over half of these voices tonight are kids' voices.
Really?
Or they sound like children.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll listen again. We're going to listen again. Listen carefully. You decide for yourself. Is this, first of all, there were no children.
No, we never bring
no children in the mausoleum. You don't bring children with you, period. You don't
we
even
don't
bring
allow
other
children.
Adults.
But, you know, him just mentioning that, that's interesting that you mention it. Because when I recorded this voice, I was next to the children's crypts, and this is—they have a specific section where they do keep children under, I believe, it's 16 years of age, and that's right where I was when I recorded this voice.
Well, do that many? I hate to ask it in such a brutal way, but do that many children by volume per capita die?
Yes, I think that there's a lot of children that pass away before they ever reach their late teens.
Yeah.
All right, it sounded like I need more. I listened to that. Let's play it again. Here you go again, folks. Is this or is this not a child's voice?
Is anyone else down here?
Well, yes, that was a child's voice. I need more. I wonder what you might make out of that. I need more what?
Yes, that's up for speculation.
And do you two do that? Do you speculate about what you get?
Well,
yes.
Of course, yeah.
You must, right?
It's just natural to do.
What do you think that child meant? I need more.
You know, I couldn't even...
I don't even know, Art. I couldn't even...
It had a kind of a plaintive sound to it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you notice at the end when he actually says more, it's almost like he can't pronounce the R.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a way a child would say it.
Yeah. Okay. See, a lot of this, when I'm trying to figure out the nature of the other side, floors me. You would think... All right, so what is the other side? Let's see if I can ask you about that. Are we hearing heaven? Are we hearing hell? Are we hearing something that's neither one of those? What?
I believe it's neither one.
Neither one, okay.
Still in our realm, and they haven't progressed on for whatever reason to where they should be.
And have you determined that that's any particular category? Is it people who commit suicide? Is it people who die unexpectedly? Is it people, what? Is there any?
I think it's that and other reasons. I think each individual ghost that still remains around us has their own reason for staying, whether they're ignorant of their death or denying that they're dead or don't realize they're dead. But I don't believe that everyone that passes away stays as a ghost.
Number two.
All right. Well, this was actually in the same mausoleum.
Huh.
A different night, though.
All right.
And I had gone back downstairs where I recorded the previous voice. And I had gone down there by myself because everybody at the time in our group was upstairs, and we thought we had heard someone downstairs. And we knew for a fact nobody should be down there.
Got you.
So we were actually in the mindset that somebody had broken into this mausoleum. So I went downstairs, and I get down there and realize that nobody's there. And you'll hear me say, okay, never mind. And then I kind of do a little nervous laugh, like, okay. And after that, you're going to hear a kid say, run. And then he makes another noise after that. And to me, at first when I heard it, it sounded like he said, run again, but just kind of forgot how to say it.
Okay, let's see if we can decide for ourselves. Here you go, folks.
Okay. Never mind.
Oh my, do you think that was a suggestion to you?
I almost wonder about that. I almost wonder if he, for whatever reason, just didn't want me down there. I don't think it was because I was in any kind of danger or anything like that. I think he just, for whatever reason, didn't want me there. He didn't want me in his space.
One of the things that you seem to have determined over the years is that ghosts reflect the personality, whether it's a good one or a bad one or even a rotten one or a foul-tempered or whatever, of the person as they were in life, yes?
Yes, I believe that. I don't see why death would change your personality if the consciousness survives.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense, I guess. So you feel this child just wanted you out of his space?
He could have been talking to other children and telling them to run.
Yeah, I guess that could be it, too.
How much indication is there that, certainly you're aware when they're talking to you and when a remark is absolutely in response, has to be in response to something you've done or said?
Right.
I would say, you know, about 70% of the time, it is in response to something that we've done.
And what do you think it is the rest of the time?
It's almost like they're interacting with each other. We've received voices where they actually talk to each other.
This next one that we're going to be playing sounds like two different voices.
Okay, let's rock.
We were in a mausoleum, and you're going to hear Brendan ask, where's Barry at? And the first voice sounds like it says, help me. And then this other voice comes in and says, I'm okay.
Huh. Here we go.
Where's Barry at?
I'm going to play that again right away. I heard the help me. It sounded like a very dispassionate help me. Monotone, right. It didn't sound like, oh my God, there's a shark, help. Not like that. But very flat,
yeah.
Very flat, very monotone. Here it is one more time, folks. I don't know about the I'm okay part. It was close, but the help me was very clear and very monotone. Do you make anything out of that?
to me, that's almost like they are responding to each other. I don't believe that one had anything to do with us, other than, you know, it just happened to record after I asked, where's Barry at?
I wonder, and I guess you'll have to wonder too, because you can't answer it, but I wonder if we sound the same to them. I wonder.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting concept.
How many EVPs have you had that indicate by the nature of what's said that they can see what you're doing? Not so much what you're saying or thinking even, but what you're doing.
I think we've had quite a few. I would say over half. And
we've been told where items are that one of us might be looking for.
And in fact, the next voice indicates that the child that's speaking this saw what it was that was recording its voice.
Oh, really? All right. What is the next one?
All right. Well, this is
number
this
four.
Is also from a mausoleum.
Right.
And this, I had left the recorder upstairs.
I just realized what it says, Maus Kid, and I just realized what that means. You have that written here. Mausoleum Kid is what that means.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, this one, I left the recorder upstairs. We had all decided to go downstairs and, videotape the basement area of this mausoleum.
Yes.
And I left the recorder, and it had probably been sitting up there, I would say, for about 5 to 10 minutes when this voice was picked up. And everybody was with us. We knew nobody was upstairs when this voice came in. And you're going to hear a child's voice again, and it says, hey. And the hay is really kind of loud and distinct. And then there's a pause, and then it says, what is that for?
This was when, and none of you were involved in provoking this by saying anything.
No, we were not upstairs at the time.
We just left it running.
That's correct.
All right, this is another child's voice, and again from a mausoleum. Here we go. Oh, that's totally freaky. And it does, let's see, what do I hear out of that? Of course, it's being suggested to me what I hear by what they've written here, but it does sound like, hey, that's quite clear, and some inquiry about what that's for. Listen. So that is, that's inquiry. That's an inquiring mind.
Yes.
And it does, to me, that one really does make me feel that it is asking, what is that recorder for? Or, of course, it probably doesn't even know what that is.
God. So if you're trying to put together what the other side is like, then curiosity, it has to go into the mix. If we interpret properly here that that's a child reacting to the presence of a recorder, and it does sound that way. Hey, what's that for?
Well, and that's such it's such a typical child's response. I mean, to be curious like that and asking what is everything for. I mean, I've got a 3-year-old nephew that's all he does. I mean, he asks, what's that? What's that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just sounds so much like a child.
Well, this is too many children already. Now, any idea why we hear so many children? I mean, why should children be virtually sentenced, to staying earthbound instead of going on to wherever it is they should go? They're the innocent, they haven't had time to be bad enough yet to be stuck like that.
You know, I think a lot of it's because they haven't had time to comprehend what death is. I mean, a lot, and if you notice, a lot of these children are young. I mean, very young, to the point where they definitely wouldn't have a concept of death.
It's a very good point. Stay right where you are. Barbara Macbeth and Brendan Cook are my guests. From the high desert in the middle of the night, you're listening to the voices of the dead.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It's actually a good night to listen to the dead. That's what we're doing. Or if you think not, then offer another tangible explanation for what we're hearing, knowing the circumstances of the recording and the care taken and everything being done to obtain these voices. Now, I've concluded that is what you're hearing, and I don't know that I'm altogether happy with what I conclude about the nature of the other side after hearing it. We'll be right back. The little child that said, I need more. Laura in Arkansas says, maybe that means he needs more of some kind of energy in order to communicate. Maybe help me refers to the same thing. They probably rely on this side, meaning our side, the physical world, to provide an avenue to respond.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
As I've mentioned before on previous shows, we've noticed that when we've taken people with us that are really feeling a lot of fear and are really afraid, it seems like activity has increased at those times more than, you know, previous times when it's just the GIS there.
I'm going to ask on behalf of the audience, we've dealt with this before, but it's an obvious question. And that is, number one, actually a two-part question. Have you ever picked up EVPs in another language?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Rare?
We don't get it as often
as we'd think we would.
Yeah, but
we do
in,
pick it up.
You know, we're in an area where it's mostly English.
Yes, spoken. Indeed. Would it make sense that if you went to Paris, for example, and went to an old cemetery in Paris, that your expectation would be that the great majority would be French?
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. In fact, there are a lot of EVP research now is coming from Germany.
Germany.
A lot of the really serious research is coming from Germany.
Uh-huh.
And we actually, on our website, we have a link to a German website that is doing some amazing EVP research. And all, I would say with the exception of maybe three of their EVPs, they are all German.
All German. Okay. again, that makes a suggestion, indeed, about the nature of the other side. And that would be that you remain, apparently, in the general geographic area that you lived and died in.
That's true. And I think a lot of that is because you're familiar with that area. You're familiar with your surroundings. And, you know, the reason you're staying behind is probably something has something to do with the area that you died in.
I also believe that you're linked, ghosts are linked to the location that they haunt. They're linked to it from life.
So if you were on vacation in Paris and died?
I don't think you'd stay there necessarily.
Really?
I think, you know, thought is instant, and I think if you wanted to be in Hawaii, bam, you'd be there.
Well, that's pleasant. That's pleasant, at least. All right, number five.
This was recorded in the mausoleum also, and you're going to hear Brendan say, all right, let's go see if Barb's upstairs.
Right.
He was talking about me. They didn't know where I was. And it sounds like a child that responds and says, I can't see.
Can't see. All right, here we go.
All right, let's see if Barb's upstairs.
Oh, that's not good. That the tone of the voice, that's not good at all. It's a pleading child's voice, isn't it?
Yes, it sounds distraught.
It's not just a I can't see, it's a I can't see kind
of. That's right.
One more time.
All
right, let's almost crying, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, ay, ay.
You know, we were discussing on the break, the members of the GIS, when you had mentioned about what is it like on the other side.
Sure.
And my husband brought up a good point, which we all believe, the members in the GIS believe this, that the other side is what you carry over mentally.
Hmm. Maybe.
Almost like that Robin Williams is. And it's kind of an older show.
What Dreams May Come.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course. Something that I just noticed, a great majority of the cuts that we're playing tonight are interwoven with something that one of you all is saying. Now, I would think that most times you would take a recorder and just sort of leave it in a place, as you mentioned you did for one of these cuts earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are right around something that one of you is saying.
Yes.
Why do you think that would be?
Well, you know, I really think that goes back to what I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, that I personally believe that these voices are using, you know, sound that's in the atmosphere. I mean, whether it's us talking or just, you know, the whir of a fan or something. That's how they're using, you know, they're using that.
They're modulating it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really believe that's why we really don't get a lot of EVP when we just leave a recorder sitting around.
And the answer is you don't get a lot, huh?
Oh, no.
We don't.
We very rarely. I think the one that we played, you know, a couple tracks back is probably one out of, I would say, 10. That we've ever received when we just leave a recorder sitting around.
Okay. Well, I'll kind of leave it to the audience to come to some of their own conclusions about what that means. Number six.
All right. Well, I'm sure you're going to be happy about this. We have finally left the mausoleum.
Ah.
So this is called the Egyptian Theater. Yeah, it's a very old style theater in Ogden. And it has a history. It was built, I believe, 1907, 1908. And then it was closed down in, I believe, the 60s or 70s for a number of years, and then they refurbished it and opened it back up. And while they were doing the construction to reopen it, there was a report that a small girl had died in this building. She had gone to work with her father one day, and her father was building the scaffolding up on top of the stage. And for whatever reason, she climbed up there and fell onto the stage and broke her neck. I mean, this was a good 75 feet high.
Right.
And so this girl, and her name's Allison, she is reported to haunt this theater. And people have seen her sitting up in the VIP box seats, you know, from when people are standing on the stage, they look up in the box seats and see this small 10, 11-year-old girl sitting there.
Huh.
And this is when the theater is completely closed down.
And so you two, what, made a day of it and went to this theater with, I might add, everybody, they always get permission, whether it's a mausoleum or a graveyard or wherever it might be. They get permission of, I don't know, the powers that be to be where they are and do what they're doing.
We do, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Which must
be. We don't want people going out there, you know, into a cemetery at 12 o'clock in the morning and, you know, because you are going to have problems with law enforcement being in there at that time.
We have been traveling through places, and
we've actually flagged down a police officer
to see if there would be a problem if we go to the cemetery in the town.
Really?
I am glad you brought that up. We always do get permission, and I would encourage anybody else that goes out and does this to get permission
to
of
get
the location
permission.
You're wanting to get into.
I mean, do you spend an entire night, for example, at a cemetery, or do you spend a couple of hours, or what's typical?
It depends.
Yeah, it depends, you know, if it's a cemetery, it depends on the weather, it depends the kind of results we've received from that place in the past. I mean, there's been times we have sat in the cemetery for a good 7 hours, you know, we'll go get dinner and bring it into the cemetery and sit there eating hamburgers on lawn chairs, and...
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what we do.
All right. People are going to want to know how frequently you get a recording, a voice. How infrequent is it? Do you have to dredge through hours and hours of tape to get one voice, or what?
Sometimes we do. That also varies, and we have yet to be able to determine any kind of correlation with anything, whether it's weather or, you know, solar storms or anything like that, on what causes more activity to happen.
Or do you ever hit the mother load and just get all kinds of voices on?
Oh, yeah.
We have.
Yeah, there's been times
where
that...
there's been visual sightings of events along with voices. It just depends.
And there's sometimes it's in the same location. We'll go to a location one night and receive absolutely nothing. Nothing on video, nothing on recorders, nothing. And then the next night we go, we end up staying 8 hours because of how much is happening.
All right. So now we're in an Egyptian theater.
Yes. And on this clip, I'm talking to the security guard who was relating some stories to us about things that he had seen in this theater as he's doing his rounds, you know, through the night.
Sure.
And we kind of got off the subject of ghosts, and we started talking about something that was in the news that day. And you'll hear me on this clip say the kids that just went nuts and started breaking into cars and lighting them on fire. And then it sounds like a young girl's voice says, "Tell me more."
Here we go.
Kids that just went nuts and started breaking all the cars and lighting them on fire.
Oh. Oh, that one's really something. Let's do that one again right away. Again, you're hearing Brendan's voice. Just talking about some kids who are breaking into cars and then lighting them on fire. But the voice, listen to the voice.
Kids that just went nuts and started breaking all the cars and lighting them on fire.
Oh, that's a beaut. Tell me more. Tell me more. Well, there's an invitation, and it brings me back to, I don't know. It brings me back to what I said to you one other time about having a tape machine or a device so that you could respond. I mean, that was an invitation for you to say more.
It was.
And he did finish the story.
Yeah, I did finish the story and never heard this voice again. You know, when we do that, and we do hear a voice like that that is directly responding to something that we have said, we do listen very intensely after that voice comes in to see if that voice ever responds again to anything else that we might have said. And I would say there's maybe three times that has ever happened. But to get back to your point about having a conversation with them.
Yes.
We had a man, his name was Christopher Helms, and he was an electronics engineer for an Air Force base in Idaho. And he offered to build us a couple of these quote-unquote real-time recorders.
He sent us about six of them.
Five or six prototypes of just trying to perfect the actual timing of the tapes. And, you know, the first two that we used, I think we would get through one tape and go to do the next one, and then it would just eat the tape.
Now, the idea, folks, obviously, is that instead of having to take the tape home and pore over it for hours, find the voice, and then have no way to respond in time to it, the idea was to have a machine that would instantly record something and almost instantly play it back so that if you heard a voice, you could respond to it. But you're saying that there were mechanical difficulties with
it. Yeah, there was quite a few, actually. We did get one final prototype that seemed to work at one point. And I do remember, actually, maybe it was three or four shows ago that we did with you, we did play a voice that I recorded with the real-time recorder. But I don't believe it was actually any kind of, you know, second response. I mean, there was me saying something, and then the voice responded to me, and then I actually hear it on the recorder, and you hear me saying, I heard you, can you, you know, please repeat yourself?
Right.
And there was nothing after that.
Okay. Number seven.
On this one, it's in the same theater, and you'll hear Brendan say, I can hear it from back here. And it sounds like a woman that responds and says, we're not done.
We're not done. Here we go.
I can hear it from back here.
That's very, very, very clear. Her voice is, there's no question about what she's saying. We're not done is indeed what she's saying. Listen.
I can hear it from back here.
There it is. There's nothing that you have to wonder about that, is there?
No.
Except what she means.
Well, and actually, the reason I was saying is I can hear it from back here was Barry had asked me, you know, can you hear that whirring sound in the background? And we were in this theater, and we could not figure out where the sound was coming from. And we never did figure out where that sound was coming from, but it sounded almost like a fan was turned on.
We're about to go back to a graveyard. Now, I know the things you have said, but you do keep going back to graveyards and to the place of the dead. And one of the things that is very disturbing to me is that I'd really rather not hang around where my old rotting worm-infested body is slowly rotting away. And I can't imagine why spirits would wish to hang by their bodies. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do not have an idea of why some graveyards are so active. I know this one particular one is on a fault line, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it would just be pure speculation on why some cemeteries are active and others don't seem to be.
Do people who are cremated hang by their ashes?
Oh, I believe they do. Well, to give you an example, this mausoleum that we played a few of these voices from tonight, a lot of the people that are in this mausoleum have been cremated, and it's just their urns that are sitting in this mausoleum.
Uh-huh. So making the ashes as important to the departed as the body?
Yes, and it's a safe place for them to be, you know.
I don't know if I like it.
Well, I mean, if somebody in my family got cremated, I wouldn't want the jar in case it got tipped over and broke. You know?
Barbara, I'm just laughing that you said it's a safe place to be.
All right, hold on. We'll be back shortly. What do you think, folks? Hang around the ashes the way you would the body. Guarding the ashes, guarding the body, still feeling an attachment to it, like I'm told amputees feel the limb is still there, just connected to whatever is left. Ooh, I don't know if I like that. From the high desert in the middle of, the middle of the night, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm.
Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Speaking of the Internet, Robert in Riverside, California, Fast Blast. Hey, Art, a reason why spirits hang around their bodies, their ashes, is because that's the best place to communicate with the living. If a relative, for example, wants to visit them and talks to them, they go to their graves or they go to their ashes and talk to them, don't they? You know, I never thought about it that way, but of course, that's absolutely true. Once again, the GIS, represented by Barbara Macbeth, of course, and Brendan Cook, and you two are back on the air again. You don't take any money for what you do, you know, and it seems like you could. And in other words, this would be something where you could, oh gosh, you could write a book for sure. You could sell tapes, definitely. I mean, this is something that lends itself automatically to writing a book or selling tapes.
To be honest, we could be quite comfortable, actually, where we're at right now. We've had quite a few people write to us trying to get us to do a book or trying to get us to sell the the CDs of our voices.
Or, I can imagine.
You know, even sell the shirts that we wear. So, I mean, yeah, we could actually make money at this quite easily.
Sure.
And, you know, we choose not to because, I mean, there's so many people that do it now anyway. And I think that's really what hurts this kind of work. Because people, if they don't want to believe this, the first thing they assume is that you are doing it only for the money. And when they find out there's no money involved, they actually sit there and look at it and go, well, why else would they be doing it?
What do you want people to conclude?
Well, I would like them to realize that after death, they are going to continue on. They aren't going to just disappear and not have any kind of existence anymore. And however they are in life is going to continue after they're dead, mentally.
Well, that's a big one. All right, number eight.
All right, well, on this, we were in a cemetery at this time. And this, you'll hear on this clip, Barbara doing her trademark spiel about, you know, if anyone's in the car with us, please get out, you're not welcome to go.
Oh, that's right, yes, of course.
And after that, after she says that, you're going to hear, it sounds like a young girl, and she says, either see ya go, or we want to go too. And
yeah,
I personally hear we want to go.
Yeah, it's an important distinction. Let's see what everyone hears.
If anyone's in the car, please get out.
I'm not as sure. I don't know what I hear. I'm going to have to try it again. I don't know that I hear that. Let's try it again.
If anyone's in the car, please get out.
I'm not sure what I hear, Barbara.
When we were listening to it, that's all I could hear was see you go.
Really? Okay, we're still in a graveyard, aren't we?
Yes, that one, too, I wanted to point out is that was in the car when that was recorded. They do get in the car with us. I think that they get right in with us and are driving around sometimes in cemeteries.
Well, I've asked you this, of course, before, but what you say is intended to dissuade them from going home with you.
That's for the benefit of my husband, because he doesn't want them to come home.
And you do? Telling the truth here?
I'm sorry, what?
Telling the truth. You do want them to come home?
It wouldn't bother me if they did.
Would it bother?
We do know that they have on occasion.
Would it bother you, Brendan?
No, you know, it wouldn't. And, you know, in fact, I think, with the exception of one of our members, I think every one of us has something in our house now.
Well, okay. Why do you think that is? I mean, they're not following you home.
I don't know if it's maybe the number of investigations that we've done that at some point something has attached itself to each one of us, which it would make sense, and there's definitely a lot of reports and a lot of cases of that happening.
Isn't it a little like in the computer world, continuing to open attachments, eventually you're going to get a worm?
Yeah, exactly. It's a very good analogy, actually.
Well, maybe they're like worms or viruses or something in a sense, and certainly if they infest your house, it is not a bad analogy. All right, number nine. We're going slowly here, so number nine.
Okay, we were in the same cemetery. The mosquitoes were so bad, we just decided to just stay in the car and not get out, because you could see these hordes of mosquitoes the size of a seagull.
Yep.
Flying around. So we were just recording in the car.
and Brendan had cracked the window and lit up a cigarette. And
right.
This was in broad daylight at the time. And you're going to hear me say, speaking, I was talking about the mosquitoes, and I says, you don't have to worry about the rear. And I was sitting behind Brendan. He was driving. And Brendan says, all right. And I says, I'm watching your back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sounds like a woman that says, now we've got some.
All right. Let's see what we've got.
You don't have to worry about the rear.
All right.
I'm watching your back.
Oh, yeah. that's in their car. See, so I don't know. We've got two things going on here. One, we've got spirits that apparently want to stay by their graves or their place of resting. But on the other hand, they're getting in the car and they're going home with you sometimes. And certainly in the car at this moment, I would say, right?
Yes.
Okay. one more time.
You don't have to worry about the rear.
All right.
I'm watching your back.
That's very clear. When you do the two replays, in other words, you give me everything in context on tape first, and then you replay what was said by the entity, and you appear to increase the volume. Is that all you do?
Yes, that's correct. We do, on the two loops following the context, we do amplify it. And it's simply, you know, just for clarity.
Sure.
Just to get people to kind of get a better feeling of the voice itself.
How far down below the taped voice, say, of one of you two, is the average EVP in volume?
You know, I think a lot of times, and I'm going to say 80%, it is much lower than we are. But there are times that it is louder and much louder than we are.
And does that appear to be connected to large emotion when that occurs? I mean, is it somebody obviously very distressed, very angry, very emotional in some way?
No, not
necessarily,
really.
Huh?
No, and, you know, one of our members actually, Jenny, pointed out that at times when these entities talk, it is almost like when you hear somebody who's deaf and they try to talk.
Right.
They have no...
Oh.
They just can't...
It's as though they cannot hear the sound of their own voice, and therefore...
Exactly.
So they can't project the sound properly.
And they also don't pronounce the words the way you're used to hearing them. And I mean, it really is a good analogy between that.
As though they can't hear their own physical voice, so they've lost touch with the way to create the words.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Number 10.
All right. Well, in this one, we were in Evanston, Wyoming, and we were investigating a store up there. And we'd gone in after hours, after the store completely closed.
Any reason to investigate the store? I mean...
Yeah, so they've had activity up there that... every one of the employees at this store, it's a lumber yard, and every one of the employees at some point has had an experience in there.
Okay.
I was told that it used to be an old mill, an old lumber mill that used to sit there at that property back in the old West days. And I don't know, there could have been deaths at that location at one time. It's pretty active in that store.
You two, do you think that it's the actual physical place that you're in, as in a mausoleum or a graveyard or, I don't know, a theater or wherever it is you are, or it's the area itself? In other words, if you were to suddenly remove the theater, would the spirit still be haunting the same physical place?
I believe so. This town, this particular town, it used to be quite a big railroad town in its heyday.
Right.
And the railroad owned a lot of property. The area that that I live in was owned by the railroad. There was a huge hotel up the road from us at one time. There was stagecoaches and carriages that used to take people from the railroad station up to the hotel. The history here is very rich.
Okay. All right. So here it is. Number 10 is?
All right. Well, in this one, you're going to hear the man that had asked us up to this location. You're going to hear him say, well, you don't really need me to stay, though, do you? Or do you want me to stay? I don't know if he was kind of a little freaked out by what we were doing and just didn't want to be around when we were doing it.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell he's kind of apprehensive about it.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, you're going to hear, and this sounds like a kid again, it sounds like a kid says, please stay here.
All right, here it comes.
Well, you don't really need me to stay, though, do you? Or do you want me to stay?
Well, that's really interesting. The child appears to say, please stay here. Listen very carefully.
Well, you don't really need me to stay, though, do you? Or do you want me to stay?
Please stay here is exactly what it sounds like, and that's a child for sure. All right, so this was the man who had actually solicited you to come up and do some recording because of activity there.
That's correct.
He actually, didn't he work nights?
Yes, he's been there at nighttime doing work late by himself or with one other person, and like I said, he's experienced events in that place that can't be explained.
Were you able to talk to this man? I know we've got another cut coming up from this, I believe, but were you able to talk to this man and give him any answers?
No, and most of the time we do not get answers.
Well, I mean, he would say, look, did you get anything? I suppose, after inviting you up there, he'd want to know what you found, and...
Yes, yeah, as far as that goes.
I thought you were talking about the man that we had actually recorded here on the next cut. I didn't realize you were talking about the man that asked us up there.
Well, I haven't heard the next cut yet, but we're all about to. Number 11, what's up?
My husband was setting up some equipment at the far back of the store. He was there by himself, and he recorded this voice that says, knock it off or I'll... And it just stops.
So there's nothing else to go with this. What you're going to hear is just the voice of the entity. Is that correct?
Yes.
Here it is. He never finishes the thought. Knock it off or I'll what? He just says, knock it off or I'll... It could be saying knock it off a while.
Oh, that, yeah, it could be. That's true.
Huh. And again, a man's voice, finally, up to a full grown man. All right, let's squeeze one more in before the top of the hour. I think we can. Number 12.
All right, well, this one and the rest of the ones following are all going to be from Barbara's house. Yeah, and this was interesting because it was actually recorded where we're sitting right now.
Oh, really?
At her kitchen table.
Uh-huh.
And she had handed me her recorder.
My old tape recorder.
Because she had lost the strap that connects to her wrist on it. And you'll hear her say, where's the little pin that was in it? And I was looking at it trying to fix it, and I tell her it's in it.
Uh-huh.
And Barbara says, in what? And then I point to it and say, in there. And then you're going to hear a man's voice again say, hey, get out.
Hey, get out?
Yes.
This is in your house?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let's listen to this.
Where's the little pen that was in it?
It's in it.
In what?
In there.
Oh. Oh, that's no good at all. That's in your house, Barbara?
Yes.
Oh, Barbara.
Mark.
You know, I think I agree with Brendan. Jeez. One more time.
Where's the little pen that was in it?
It's in it.
In what?
In there.
Oh, good Lord. How did you react when you heard that one, Barbara?
Oh, I really didn't have a reaction. I mean,
no?
I'm not going to get out until I'm ready to get out.
Well, I know, but this is not a friendly invitation.
No, but
nor
we've
is
never...
it delivered in a friendly manner. I mean, there was attitude with that.
Yeah, there, and a lot of them have attitude. You've heard many that have had an attitude, but there's nothing ever threatening or
harmful. I know,
harmful.
But usually you're in a graveyard or a mausoleum or someplace like that where you can get out and go home. This is in your home.
Yes, and we've had a lot of stuff take place here.
Which, how much of it indicates that you're in friendly company, I guess I'd put it that way?
I don't think anything too...
There hasn't been anything negative happen
no.
here. And in fact, there's been gifts show up that we can't explain.
Little gifts, huh?
An old coin that we don't know where it came from. It was in a box that we packed.
It just showed up.
My husband.
And a hat. Oh, well, that's wonderful. All right, you two, hold on. In the middle of the night, from the high desert, expanding by little Rhode Island sizes every year, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Or the scent of the sand, or the strength of an oak with roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories hoard and to use them.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. from coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
I'm very well aware that at any given time we've got probably thousands of guys in big rigs trucking along out there on the nation's highways, probably clipping along about 70 or 80 miles an hour, and they've got this cranked up in the cab, and they're alone, or at best their partner's asleep in the cab behind, and they're listening to all of this. Good luck. Tomorrow night, a very rare interview with Dean Radin. He doesn't give many of them. Dean Radin has been involved in the Consciousness Project. And he's a very rare individual who is working on what I consider to be perhaps the biggest force in the universe. Maybe the biggest force there is, consciousness. That's tomorrow night with Dean Radin. And I wonder if the two of you agree with that. Consciousness, it seems like it's a very large force indeed when it's focused. You do agree?
Yes. I think it's more powerful than we give our credit to the power of the consciousness.
Yes, much more powerful. Do you think that consciousness is the soul or a product of the soul or just the mind? Because I ask that because what we hear tonight appears to be consciousness.
I really think it's definitely a part of the soul. I don't know, you know, because we hear all the time that is what a soul is. It's consciousness. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I definitely think that is a main part of it. I mean, that is what we're hearing when we're recording these voices.
Exactly. We're hearing consciousness.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's hear some more of it. Number 13.
All right. Brendan was working on my computer, and he was in the little office where the computer is. And I had offered him a flashlight, and he says, you'll hear him say, I can see it fine, just one screw that I have to take out. And you're going to hear a woman say, this might help.
What'd you do, hand him a screwdriver?
No.
This isn't
my voice.
I see. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I can see it, Fox. Just one screw that I have to take out.
Well, I personally have always thought that there was some other force that hung around computers. Well, that's pretty good, though. This might help, and a woman's voice. One more time.
Yeah, I can see it, Fox. Just one screw that I have to take out.
Are you sure that's not Barbara's voice?
I know it's not my voice.
That sounds nothing like Barbara.
Another woman in the house. Barbara, do you have any sense of how many spirits are currently occupying your home?
I think that there's at least three.
Three.
I there might be more, but I know there's at least three.
Do you think those three would be there if you were not in the EVP?
Yes, I think that the spirits that are here in this house were here when we moved in.
I only have one reaction to give you, but my wife Ramona's listening to this program tonight, and I asked her what she thought during the break, and she said, well, of the voices, she said, I just feel sorry for them.
Yes, you have to feel sympathy for these souls that are still here with us. They don't sound happy. Very few of them that we've recorded have ever really sounded happy.
There may have been a couple of children that had some happy moments, or it sounded like they were having happy. But,
yes.
But aside from that, you're right. They do not sound happy.
No, they don't.
They don't. They they almost seem very confused. It's almost like they don't know what's happening. I mean, they're aware of things, obviously, but it's like they have no concept of what's going on, no control.
Well, all right, let's go back to what Barbara said when I asked about what you would expect people to conclude, about all of this as they listen. I mean, it is very disturbing. And as you listen to it, if your reaction is to say, I feel sorry for these people, then your conclusions about those who are trapped in this world after death, they just can't be that rosy about how it is.
No, but it's, how were they when they were alive? I know of so many people that are just completely miserable, and they cause their own misery most of the time.
True. True enough. Number 14.
All right, well, on this one, you're going to hear me say, and this should work just fine. And I'm talking about, Barbara was having me set up her recorder in the kitchen.
Okay.
And I just finished setting it up, and I say, and this should work just fine. And then after that, you're going to hear a man's voice. And it sounds like he's almost kind of singing this. He's got a singing tone. And it sounds like he says, come and have a look at us.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that should work just fine.
I don't know. All right, now so I certainly hear come have a look at us, but I don't hear anything singing about it. Let's try it again.
And that should work just fine.
As a matter of fact, you two, it sounds to me flat. Kind of like the others. Flat. I don't know that I heard the singing part of that.
Really? I mean, I can hear that it's very monotone in his voice itself, but the way the sentence almost is structured, to me, I mean, it just struck me as it was kind of like he was singing that.
Yeah? Maybe he was telling you to die. Come have a look at us, you know. Come on over here. You got to laugh a little. Do you two expect, and there's more than two of you, by the way. GIS is made up of like a half dozen or so, isn't it?
There's five of us.
Five, okay. Do members come and go?
No.
No, it's been the same five of us since 1998, I believe.
And I bet you've had a lot of people who wanted to join.
Yes, and we've had people get mad when they can't. And
what do? Do you tell people, look, you don't need to join, you can do this yourself?
Yes.
And
they can, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. They can definitely do this by themselves. You can really spend as much or as little on this as you want.
I really should repeat this because it bears repeating. Over the years of doing the shows with you two, we have perpetually invited people to go give it a try. And then I'll get some emails and I'll say, what a bunch of baloney. But you know what? I'm tired of all this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a tape recorder and I'm going to go out. And more times than not, and I mean this, more times than not, I get a second email from somebody going, holy, and then my little emails have little, when something bad is said, they have like a little hot pepper that comes up in front of the email, and there's like hot peppers there because the exclamations they make can't be repeated. But I mean, they're really shocked. People do this themselves, and they do get results, and it scares the you-know-what out of them.
Yes, and it's really kind of, I think it's kind of neat when we've had people go out with us, and they are there, they know what's taking place, and when we are able to play a voice back to them, they were there at the time, they know what was being said by who, and to be able to let them hear a voice where they were that they did not hear, that's interacting with something they might be saying or doing, is really kind of an exciting thing to me.
Exciting for you, perhaps, because you've been doing it so long. But for somebody who just cracks out a recorder, you know, probably pretty skeptical, but they just, you know, say, okay, fine. It's within my means. It's easy. I'll give it a try. And then they get results. What thrills you just scares the you-know-what out of a lot of other people. And it's understandable, frankly.
Well, yes, because we tend to be afraid of what we don't understand.
Did it scare you at first?
No.
No? Really?
I just thought, oh, great, here's another tool to be able to use to show that the consciousness is continuing.
Brendan, you seem to have a few more reservations about how far involved in this you wish to be than does Barbara.
Well,
I mean, I get the sense that Barbara would invite these things into bed with her at night.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me, actually. I think I've actually, I recall Barbara saying
that once
she passes on, she does want to stay behind.
I see. Well, I don't know. After listening to all of these, that's a shock in itself. You really mean that, Barbara?
To be able to stay around?
You would.
Oh, yeah, but I'm a happy person, so I don't know if I will be able to, but I'm hoping that I have a choice.
Uh-huh. And if you get an opportunity, if, say, you do happen to go before Brendan,
which is a definite likelihood, since I'm quite a bit older.
I see. And then you happen to catch him one day out with his recorder.
I'm going to try to give him the best EVP he's ever recorded.
All right. Number 15.
All right. This was also in the house. Brendan was showing me how to use my new digital tape recorder. It's not a tape recorder, but.
Yes.
My digital recorder. And you'll hear me ask, it's the stop one I do? No. And Brendan says, if you stop, it stops it.
Right.
And I go, oh. And there's a woman's voice that says, now it's poking out.
Oh, really? Okay, here we go.
Is it stop when I do? No.
If you stop, it stops it.
Oh.
No,
it's poking out. No, it's poking out.
I don't know what it's talking
out.
About.
Maybe it's referring to the button.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if it's contextual, then that's what you were talking about, right? If you push this or push that, right?
Yes.
So maybe it was referring to that. I mean, listen again. It's in context.
Is it stop when I do? No.
If you stop, it stops it.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. There are some who will say, well, could that be Barb's voice?
I have definitely never heard Barbara sound quite like that, not even close.
Well, unless she was doing it in a very low voice, talking to herself about the control. But I've heard too much to believe that. So, number 16.
All right. Well, and this, again, was recorded in Barbara's house. It was actually recorded in the guest house behind Barbara's house. But I had walked in there because Barbara was mentioning how, you know, in the middle of the summer, this house is always cold. There's no air conditioning in it. There's no nothing. It should
be hot. There's no insulation. It should be just as hot as blazes in the summer. And
I walked in there, and it was definitely cold. It was a lot colder than it should have been. And you'll hear me, I walk in, and I say, well, God, there's a lot of dust in here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of trying to hold back from coughing. And then you hear me say again, there's definitely a lot of dust in here. And after that, you're going to hear, and this is hard to determine if it's a woman or a man's voice.
Okay.
But it sounds like someone saying there's no one to help him.
Make up your own minds, folks. Here it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of deaths in here. There's definitely a lot of deaths in here.
Oh, now that's very interesting. That that is hard to discern the sex of the voice that we're hearing. I agree with that. There's no one to help him, meaning what? The dust? Is it in context, or is this just a grab out of the ether? Listen carefully. It's very interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of dust in here. There's definitely a lot of dust in here.
Again, the same monotone in there again. That's all right. Here's somebody who writes about this. It's Mike in Toledo, Ohio, and he says a couple of observations. One, inflection, enunciation is definitely off. Do they think it's due to disembodied voice, in other words, no larynx to produce the voice? Could this be what thought sounds like electromagnetically? And three, this person would like to get, Mike would like to get your thoughts on the validity of clairvoyance.
Well, as far as the voices go and how they sound,
yes,
I think it goes back to what I said earlier that, you know, if you compare it to the way a deaf person sounds when they try and talk, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that they cannot hear themselves. And in a sense, I guess, have, you know, over time, forgot how to actually speak.
Huh. Do you think it's because there is no real larynx, there are no ears, there is no hearing? This is a, as this person said, it's like an electronic, or an electromagnetic, rather, projection only. And modulating, I kind of like what you said earlier, when you said that it takes ambient sound that's being made and modulates it into what they want it to be.
Well, I think definitely that's it. I mean, obviously these people do not have larynx or ears and who knows really if they can hear themselves when they do this. But definitely it's such a different way to produce a voice than the way you and I do it.
Then it's the projection of voice electromagnetically. That's not a bad guess.
That's very plausible.
Which is a technology that I wonder if we have ever, you know, fooled with that. I mean, tried to create a situation where it would be easy. Now, here's something y'all might want to try. If your conclusions are correct, then perhaps you want to provide a medium that can be easily modulated. Has that occurred to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely has. And I think it's just the matter of working out which is the best way to do it.
Well, some sort of
best to use.
Some sort of sound or some sort of frequency that would be going on that would be easily utilized, perhaps not easily picked up. I'm trying to think about this. Not easily picked up by the microphones and yet easy to modulate electromagnetically, in other words, provide them with a sort of electronic larynx.
Yeah, and you know, I actually, the site I was talking about earlier in Germany is using some form of, I guess you would call it white noise.
Bingo!
Kind of a backdrop.
Bingo! That's exactly what I meant. You have considered trying that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
I even considered generating, you know, certain tone frequencies.
All right, hold it right there. We've got a break. This is Coast, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Good Lord. Maybe the Germans are onto it. Maybe that's the next step in this technology. Maybe what you need to do is provide those on the other side with an electronic larynx, white noise generator going in the background, something for them to easily modulate, probably with thought. That's really pretty exciting stuff if you think about it. The Germans, I would say, are probably on to something. They really are. I mean, you're almost providing an electronic larynx for manipulation with white noise. So that's an awfully good idea. Of course, it probably means that white noise will kind of screw up a recording. So I wonder, are the Germans getting the balance correct so that they can pick the voice out through the white noise, or is the white noise virtually invisible somehow to the recorder?
A lot of times, and like I said, you can go to our website, and there's a link to a German website that is doing a lot of that research.
So you can hear it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But what are your impressions, just for my own benefit here? I mean, do you hear the white noise yourself?
You do hear it, and I think a lot of the times it seems to actually drown out the voice. I mean, it's almost like you hear that more than you hear the voice itself.
Interesting.
It's kind of like on the order of our first tapes that we were recording. Quality is not...
Right.
Right.
Got you. But the concept seems very sound. And if not white noise, then some other way that those from the other side could electromagnetically manipulate a sound, which is nothing but a frequency.
Yeah.
And I think that'll definitely be the next step. I mean,
all right.
The next step in the research anyway.
Gotcha. All right. We're at number 17.
All right, on this one, you're going to hear me say, we were talking about a good friend of ours. He had gotten sick, thought he had mono, and you're going to hear me say, and you can tell he's real quiet and draggy, and it hurts him to talk, and a man is recorded saying, "We can talk."
We can talk. Here we go. Oh, no, we don't go there. That was kind of a good place to go, but it wasn't the place that we're about to go. It helps to have the right CD and the right player. Sorry about that. All right, coming up, number 17, and again, you'll hear something that says apparently we can talk. Listen.
Now you can tell he's real draggy and quiet and tired. It hurts him to talk.
Ooh.
There was almost some inflection in that voice. If you listen carefully, we can talk. There's almost inflection there. Listen.
Now you can tell he's real draggy and quiet and tired. It hurts him to talk.
A little bit of inflection in that, huh?
Yes, it's not so one line, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Remarkable. All right, this next one looks interesting. Something about a microphone?
Yeah, no. Okay. Now, how's this for irony? We were in Barbara's library, myself and Barbara's husband, Roger.
Right.
And we were preparing to input one of his EVPs onto the computer. And I was actually setting up everything to get it to where we could input it onto the computer. And I have this habit of talking to myself while I do it.
Hmm.
So you hear me go and select microphone, and then I say we got a feed on it, you know, talking about the line into the computer. And then you hear this, it sounds like an old man saying, I'll get the key back.
Okay, here we go.
Select microphone. We got a feed on it.
Oh, God.
I'll get the key back. I'll get the key back.
Clearly saying, I'll get the key back. I suppose, you know, it could be something else. And it could be the psychological suggestion that we've been told by these two, what they think it says. But, I mean, it does say that, doesn't it? Listen again.
Select microphone. We get a feed on it.
I don't know why I want to ask this right now, but have you ever had any EVPs that are religious?
I don't think we have.
Not that I can recall.
The closest thing I think that we come to that has been we did get a recording of a voice of a woman saying, I'm near the light.
We've had references to the light.
And that's about the closest to religion that we've come.
I guess that's close to religion. I don't know. I guess I was reaching out for more like, I met Jesus. I saw God.
We've never recorded a voice.
None of that, huh?
No.
Huh. All right. Number 19. I want to get a couple calls in here if we're able to, so we're almost done.
This one, some people that we know had lost their daughter to cancer, little girl at about 9 years old.
Right.
And you're going to hear my husband, Roger, telling Brendan and Jenny about this, you'll hear him say, and their daughter died about 2-3 weeks ago. And a woman says, I see a wealthy girl. This family is a prominent family here in town, and they are quite wealthy.
And the voice says, I see a wealthy girl?
Yes.
Let's listen.
And the daughter died about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yep. You know, you would think that would be, I don't know, perhaps the last thing you would think about would be the relative wealth of anybody when you don't have a body anymore, but...
And the daughter died about 2-3 weeks ago.
Anything on meaning there, folks?
Well, other than the family is wealthy, that's the only thing I can, which I thought it was kind of a weird thing for a voice to say.
So did I. I mean, why even think of wealth? All that
dead?
Would be left behind, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would. Somebody in the audience would like clarification on this. You say you're using a different machine now, a digital machine. Are you using DAT tape, or are you using some other digital form?
We're not using DAT tapes. We have thought about that, and I'm sure eventually we are going to start using them.
Yes.
Right now it is basically just an internal hard drive.
Oh, a hard drive?
Yep.
So, some kind of portable hard drive recorder?
Yes, yes.
I'll be darned. And a standard mic, would you tell everybody what you use?
It is. It's just a standard stereo mic.
External mic.
Yeah, that is all we're using.
Does it seem to make any difference, the quality of the mic you use? I mean, you could do all kinds of things. For example, there are different microphones with different responses, and then you can do preamplification and all kinds of things at the site. Have you toyed with that thought?
We have, and we have used a lot of different mics. And it doesn't, to be honest, really seem to affect the EVP. It affects our voices and the investigators' voices, but not
right.
so much the EVP itself.
Again, remarkable. All right, number 20 and the last one.
All right. Well, on this one, this also was recorded in Barbara's house at the table that we're sitting at right now. And you'll hear Barbara's husband, Roger. He says, "What did you say, Brendan?" And I said, "It was at the very beginning." And I'm referring to, he was trying to find an EVP on a tape that he was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And after I say it was at the very beginning, you're going to hear a woman's voice say, "That was funny."
Huh. Indicating somebody has a sense of humor or understands humor on the other side, maybe? Here we go.
Would you say, Ben, was at the very beginning?
I'm trying to make out for sure what was said there. That sounds like a, I think, a relatively young woman. Here you go.
Would you say, Ben? Was at the very beginning?
Sounds like a relatively young woman, I would
yeah.
say.
Yeah, it does.
Gee, that's quite a variety of voices from your house, Barbara. And a point of interest here, as a matter of curiosity, should you invite some of these creatures, spirits, into your bed, for example, how would Roger feel about that?
Roger don't want them in the house at all.
Oh.
He doesn't like them being here.
He's not pro-spirit.
No. He's not as comfortable with it as I am.
Uh-huh. On the other hand, you're extremely enthusiastic about it.
I'm very comfortable with it.
So how does that go?
Well, when we first moved in, he was upset.
But yeah, so I can imagine. He probably just laid down money on a, you know, whatever, and here he walked right into the lion's den.
Yeah, he told them to stay away from him and not to bother him when we moved in.
I see. Did you have a sense of any of this when you moved in?
No.
No, you didn't.
Well, So
you weren't leading Roger into the lion's den?
No, and when I first brought Roger into the house to show it to him.
Yes.
We were coming through the garage and into the basement and coming up some stairs to come upstairs. And
yes.
It was on the stairs where he said, "Oh, great, there's ghosts here."
Oh.
He's a little more sensitive.
you mean, no kidding. So he recognized the fact before you did.
I don't know if there's any around or not. I don't feel nothing.
So, but your husband is sensitive in this area.
He's more sensitive. Yeah.
And so he said, "Oh, there's ghosts here." And I'm sure you said, "Oh, gee, dear, I'm sorry."
I said, I didn't, I thought he was kind of, he wasn't happy about this house.
Yeah, I get that sense. All right, look, let me try and squeeze a couple of calls in. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with GIS. Good morning.
Yeah, Art, I'll get right to it. Brendan and Barbara, one of my favorite shows.
Oh, thank you.
Have you guys ever attempted relatives or acquaintances?
Yes. I think we talked about it one time, a friend of ours who committed suicide. The family started having activity in the house after he committed suicide, and they asked us to come over there. And
really?
Yeah.
How many requests on average? I suppose when you do programs, you probably get a number of requests to come and check out a certain location, don't you?
Yes, and it's just overwhelming. I mean, there's no way 5 people could respond, and you know, plus there's a lot of traveling involved. The locations are not close to where we are, and since we fund ourselves, it's...
Well, do you allow people to send you funds to travel to a location. That would seem reasonable.
Most people that have this kind of thing going on, most people really couldn't afford to pay for our way there.
A lot of times what we will do is advise them as far as what they can do in their own home.
Really?
And we will try, you know, as much as possible to get to the location. But if we can't, we will advise them, you know, what they can do to actually find out what if there is a ghost and what it wants.
Well, I think that's what most people want to know. If they think they live in a haunted location, they would no doubt like to know the nature of the haunting and the person or spirit. And I guess as much information as they could get. So I'm sure you do get, you know, calls from Atlanta, Georgia, or wherever, and say, look, I'll pay your way out. I want you to do your work and find out what you can about what's happening to me. Do you get that? Is that the way it goes?
We haven't had too many people offer to pay our way.
I see. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hello?
Art, this is Everett in California.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara. Hello, Brenda.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I would like to urge a little caution, and I refer to the works of Edgar Cayce. He indicated that at the death of each soul, a copy of that life is created. That copy stays close to the earth. That copy is for a specific purpose. When the soul returns, if there are habits such as drugs or various other things, that soul picks those up on the return. And this is a machine, a program that's running, should not be confused with the true afterlife. And, there shouldn't be the empathy for the young people or the old people, but they should be understood to be copies, to be operating programs.
So it's all nothing but listening to, they're listening to part of a machine. Is that what you believe?
They can be communicated with.
Is that what you believe, sir? They're part of a larger machine, that's all?
No. Every soul that dies creates a copy of itself.
And the danger that you mentioned, what is the danger?
Is that these are represented as true entities on the other side. They're very one-dimensional, and they're simply operating as programs. But they're there for the purpose of implementing karma. When the soul returns, if they have a smoking habit, if they are overeating and have gluttony, they're returning souls are modified instantly at birth.
All right, well, there you go, folks. That's an opinion, but an interesting opinion about what you're tapping into. Comments?
You know, I do think it's interesting. The only thing I really don't get, though, would be, if that was the case, why do we get contemporary information? I mean, it could explain everything else. But the contemporary information that we get, if this was just a program that for some reason we're tapping into,
it would be a random affair completely. There wouldn't be interaction.
Exactly.
Well, it's a good place to leave everybody, kind of not having all the... We're never going to answer all the questions, or maybe I'm wrong, and one day we will. In the meantime, we've got you all, and I cannot tell you how I appreciate your coming on the air and doing this, again, without profit motive. And if this doesn't cause people to think, I just have no idea what in the world would. So you will continue on the quest?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
It's a new adventure every time.
And your website, one last time?
Is www.ghostpix.com.
That's
GHOSTPIX.com.
And they can hear what was on tonight, and they can hear many others on the site, right?
That's correct.
All right, you two. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Art.
Good night, Art.
Yes, good night indeed. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. But there is tomorrow.
If you could read my mind, love,
what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see.